T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Curveball grounded left side, diving stab, Devers, and throws from his knees in too late, and a run scores.
Oh, that workman, he'll make you smoke cigarettes, man. Tony,
don't talk to me about that.
Dale Arnold.
My tweet was not because I regretted tweeting it, because I didn't want to bring any attention to him. I don't regret the way that I responded. You know, I regret giving him attention for what he wants.
Rich Keefe.
Basketball
is back, baby!
Yes, damn it, we are going to talk about the Bruins.
Dale and Keefe, middays.
Joe Kelly is a knob.
I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double champ does what the he wants.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. We're broadcasting live from our Shaw's and Star Market studios. And who knew that one of the most important phrases that we would try to learn going into the upcoming NFL season, at least we all hope there will be an upcoming NFL season, who knew that the term opt-out was going to be so important?
Huge. That is it. Who's opting out? Who's opting in? I mean, you got a bunch of guys that you're, you know, curious about, and some are having to announce that they're opting in. Others, like, you know, Tom Brady, Cam Newton, Julian Edelman, you have no doubt, you don't even have to ask them. But then there are plenty of others that you're wondering, you know, are you guys going to play? You're not going to play? But here we are.
So the Patriots have had 6 players who have opted out, and they lead the league. I mean, they've got the most. We said yesterday that in all 6 cases, all 6 of the players who opted out all had great reasons, no arguments, no beef from the team, nothing like that. We learned that Matthew Slater certainly struggled and you know, grappled with the decision and ultimately decided he was going to play. To at least to start this season. There was a question posed by some about if Slater had been another, you know, well-respected veteran captain, if he had opted out, would that have swayed anybody else's opinion? And I don't know the answer.
No, I think it's a personal decision or a family decision, really. I don't think, because you're going to have plenty of guys on your roster that are playing and then, you know, a few guys that aren't. And so I don't think you're going to be swayed necessarily by one or the other. You have your decisions to make. You know, you go back and you talk to, you know, your wife or your girlfriend, or, you know, you see what your situation is with your kids, your parents, whatever it is, and then you come back and say, all right, here's what I've decided. You know, and again, you look down the list and the Patriots still have had the most guys, but again, I think you just have to take it on an individual basis and see why they did that.
The Patriots have had the biggest name. Dante Hightower, I think, is the biggest name to opt out so far.
I think far and away, really. I think he is the best, not just the best Patriot player, he's the best player in the NFL to not play.
Nate Solder was a big opt out yesterday for the New York Giants. And by the way, no one could question this.
No, that wasn't surprising at all.
I'd have been shocked if he played, given his own history with cancer, his son's ongoing battle with cancer. I mean, there was just no way in the world he could consider playing. And now he got a $3 million roster bonus that was paid to him in March. And he had a $100,000 workout bonus. So Solder gets $3.1 million for a season that he's not going to play in.
Mm-hmm.
But for many of these guys, I mean, Dante Hightower was walking away from what, $8 million?
$8 million. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, it had to be such a difficult decision for every single one of these guys involved. You know, some have made their money, some haven't, some, you know, might actually end up making more or the same based off of, you know, depending on what at-risk group that they are in. And looking at this list as it was sort of growing, and yesterday it was Solder and Damian Williams were like the, were the biggest names. Not making light at all of any of the players' decisions to leave, but looking at it, I thought it was kind of coincidence that also on the same night they're announcing the, you know, the final 10 for the top 100 NFL players. And I was looking at it just from a fan, I think you should be able to, you know, respect the guys that are opting out. But it really doesn't have like a, there's no major name yet where you would say how I feel about this season will be affected. As a Patriots fan, you want Dante Hightower out there, but
sure,
it's not like Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson or Aaron Donald,
Russell
or
Wilson
Gilmore or all the, like, not a single top 100 player opted out. Hightower has to be on the short list of like recent Pro Bowlers even to opt out.
Now so, we can also say technically they don't have to opt out until next week. It may be, and I don't know that this is the case, it won't be for the Patriots. I think they were asked by the team to please make their decision early, and they did. But we may, I mean, who knows? We may have a player opt out over the weekend who will be that type of player.
We could, and I think a well-run team, and we know that there's certainly not 32 of them, but a well-run team like the Patriots probably said, all right, guys, you know, please take this time and come up with your decision and let us know by, you know, in this case, Monday or whatever, and that way we can all kind of move forward. And, you know, maybe we'll see you next year. Maybe we won't. But whatever, we got to get our ducks in a row and we got to get ready for the season. So I don't know how many teams said that. But
when they took the roster from 90 to 80, what I was told was that they reached out to all the 80 players who were on the roster and basically said, make a life decision, not a football decision. Mm-hmm. Do what's best for you. But please let us know by Monday or Tuesday, whatever the date was. And the six players all did that.
And now there's an opportunity for some of these guys that were sitting out as free agents, kind of waiting for that opportunity. Well, it looks like a whole bunch of opportunities just opened up.
Yeah.
You know, Jadeveon Clowney, the biggest name, but there's still plenty of other established pros that are out there waiting for their spot. You know, in other years, maybe they would wait for an injury in preseason games, but now you don't have the preseason games, but you get whatever it is up to like 30 players who have decided that, you know what, at least for this season, not going to play.
So we kind of mocked the Max Kellerman hot take yesterday, where Kellerman basically said that if Tom Brady were still playing for the Patriots, some of these six guys would not have opted out. And we kind of made fun of that.
Yeah, I didn't care for the take. I didn't think it made a lot of sense. It's not like you could go back and, you know, Marcus Cannon would not be a cancer survivor, or Patrick Chung has, you know, a kid on the way. Plus, I guess he sees it was his mother all the time. And, you know, Dante Hightower is a young kid. Like, all of these things that are going on and all the reasons why these players decided to opt out, I don't think had a whole lot to do with who's under center.
So yesterday, Tom E. Curran went on the Dan Patrick Show, and Tom was asked if he thinks the Patriots players who opted out would have done so if Tom Brady was still the quarterback in New England.
I asked the same question yesterday. No, I don't. I don't think that would happen. Look, Marcus Cannon is a cancer survivor. I think that that is on its own planet.
Yeah.
And Hightower and Chung both have newborns or soon to have newborns. But I think when these players look at it, they're like, I've made over $30 million. I have three rings. I'm over 30 years old. This seems like it's going to be a bit of a cluster. We're going to sit there in our cars and wait to get into the facility to have our nose swabbed one by one every day. Then after the nose swab, we have to go through this process of getting into the locker room, then into the training room, then onto the practice field for a season that might not happen. And I think that a lot of those players are like, do I want to do that to go in there and go 7-9 with Jarrett Stidham or Cam Newton or whatever we're trying to do? If Brady was there though, Dan, I don't think 7-9 would be in the conversation. So no, I don't think that there would be this many players opting out because they would be championship caliber.
It's amazing to hear a state or that many statements in a row and disagree with all of them. I couldn't believe that. And I love Tom. I mean, we have him on once a week. He's one of the best at covering the Patriots.
So friend of the show.
There's the compliment. Get that out of the way. But hate everything that he said. So he's so hung up on football players having to wait in their car and then get their nose swabbed. So do you really think that Dante Hightower's decision came down to getting his nose swabbed once a day? Like, I can't handle that. I'm out. I can't do that. Oh, my God. I got to wait in my car. Yeah, you got to wait in your car. And if you're that worried about safety, that is for your safety. That is why you're waiting in your car. That is why you're getting your nose swabbed. I also think it's got to be tough for some of these guys because they're choosing not to play, and yet they still have to, I assume, live in America for the next 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 months. As you know, as the football season be going on, they're probably not going to get tested every day like they would as a player, or every other day as the season goes on. So I think the league is trying to find a safe way to do it. And I just think it's odd that he's so hung up on them waiting in their car and getting their nose swabbed. The other thing I hate is he just lumps Stidham and Newton together. Is he the only guy, him and Ordway, that thinks Stidham might be the starting quarterback?
Yeah, no, I thought Stidham was the quarterback when it was Stidham and Hoyer here. I thought that was clear.
But New England Patriots love Jared Stidham.
But he's do you think these guys have the appetite to go 7-9? I'm like, well, I don't think many people think with Cam Newton you are going 7-9. So I disagree with that. And so now all of a sudden with Brady, like you still have a lot of flaws on the roster, whether it's Brady, Newton, or Stidham. And I could kind of talk myself into this piping hot take if there was no Newton. And you say, all right, what chances do we even have for the playoffs? So maybe I'll sit this one out. But Newton gives you a legitimate quarterback. And so I don't think if Brady's here, they're all playing. And the other part of it is, I don't know how much Curran, and I know we'll get to his follow-up, I don't even know how much Curran even agrees with what he was saying, because there are six Patriots.
He kind of sounded like he was talking himself out of a couple of them.
100%. He goes, there are six Patriots. He goes, so, but Cannon's a different story, you know, as a cancer survivor. Like, okay, so now you're down to five. And then he says, well, Chung and Hightower have young kids.
Now we're down to three.
But they've also made their money. So is it, do they have the young kids so they're out, or they have their money because they're out? And then I don't really. And so now you're saying, so basically it whittles down to Dan Vitale, Najee Torin, who nobody knew until he opted out, and Brandon Bolden. Those guys would all play for Brady, but not for Newton?
He actually did mention Brandon Bolden. It was just cut for length of cut purposes. But he did mention how Brandon Bolden also has some sort of condition.
Okay, so now you're telling me, Dan, your big point is all these guys don't opt out if Brady's here. But then when you kind of talk it out, you think Dan Vitale and Najee Torin, who, again, come on. So those guys would play. And what a big difference that would be, Dale, if those two guys were back and the other four were gone.
I don't
gone.
Know how you could even hope that's to go 7-9 if those guys are out.
Right. But that's his whole point is like it's like he kind of wanted to have a hot take, but then as he was discussing it, he's like, no, wait a minute. This doesn't make any sense.
As we would do, the Dan Patrick Show tweeted out the audio and the video of that steaming hot take from Tommy Curran.
It
about
was a 6 take.
O'clock last night,
is
somewhere
it?
In there.
It was.
At 6:49 this morning, Patrick Chung apparently saw the clip.
Okay.
And he replied to @DP Show and @TomECurran. And at 6:49 this morning, Patrick Chung said, "Damn, Mr. Curran. I say this with love. You sound like a idiot.
Burn him!
Doesn't hurt the friendship. You're not in the doghouse.
Oh, that's
but
good. But
don't let your job corrupt your brain, man. You know better than that."
Yikes. So Chung not having it.
No. And then Tom, now I actually give him credit for this. I'm in all seriousness, I like somebody who says, you know what? I need to take that one back. You know, sometimes you do what we do for a living. You say something stupid. And I actually appreciate more the people who go back and say, you know, I was a dope. I shouldn't have said that.
Well, I've never done that, Dale. And so I know you don't appreciate that.
I have once in a while said something dumb and stupid. And to Curran's credit, he responded to Patrick. He said, I'm sorry, Patrick. Offense was not intended. Reflecting more, I see why it is offensive to you. Spitballing theories about a person's personal and private decision and why it may have been different is insensitive to the situation. I apologize. He told another reader, another Twitter follower later on, I have reached out to both Dante and Patrick and apologized. And you know what? I respect that.
Yeah, but spitballing is part of the job. You know, you're not going to be right, or you're not going to be able to, you know, have everybody agree with you all the time. And so I guess my question would just be, did he actually even believe it when he was saying it originally? Or was it just sort of like, I don't know, like an anti-Cam Newton take in a way? That's what it kind of felt like for me. Because, again, it comes down to if Tom Brady's the quarterback, wasn't that the Dan Patrick question? If Tom Brady's the quarterback, do you see all these opt-outs? So you immediately say, all right, if Tom Brady's here, like, how do you view them? Are they a Super Bowl contender? Where are they? Blah, blah, blah. Versus Cam Newton. And we know that Tom doesn't like Cam Newton. He didn't like the idea of them bringing him in and all that other stuff. He thought he was cooked, and which is fine. Not everybody has to be as excited as me and Shime are about Cam Newton. That's 100% fine. But it felt like it was more of that than anything else.
And even when they signed him, I said, my concern is, can he stay healthy? That's been an issue the last couple of years. Look, if he's healthy, of course you sign him, especially for the amount you signed him for.
But
why
I
wouldn't
think,
you?
But I just think you're also, you're looking at all these guys right now who I assume are making personal and family health decisions. And you're saying, well, if Brady was here, they'd be more of a contender and they'd all play. Like discrediting the thought that they put into this and maybe how concerned they really are for, you know, their family members.
So Tom took it back. According to him on Twitter, he's reached out to both Patrick and Dante Hightower and apologized to them. You brought up the point earlier that, you know, one door opens and another door closes or whatever that saying is, because all of a sudden now the Patriots had six guys who were on the 80-man roster, leaving six positions open. And according to the Lansing State Journal, they filled one of those already. They've re-signed rookie quarterback Brian Lewerke.
There you go. Bring him back. They got room on the roster, so why not? Now, I'm fascinated to know if they get involved with some of these free agents. You know, bring some of these other guys in, because what happened?
No, they
was,
can't do Jadeveon Clowney. They got Brian Lewerke.
That's a good point. No, but they went from 90 down to 80. Like, they cut a whole bunch of the undrafted guys that they had, but now they just opened up all these more roster spots. So they can still only have 80 once camp begins, but there's certainly some openings now.
So there was the wide receiver, the young wide receiver they already re-signed. Now Lewerke's come back. So they're running out of those open spots on the 80-man roster. Not that they can't open one up if they find a guy they really like. And they will.
Yeah. Oh, I would assume so. So just assuming, I think the Patriots will be done. I know a lot of people have sort of said that as well. Like, they seem to be the one team that, oh, immediately there's like a flood of them. Like, oh, why is it all these Patriots? But when we had Kern on earlier in the week, that was one of the things he speculated about too. And it was a good point. It was like, yeah, let's do this now, you know, so we're not blindsided, you know, right before the deadline or whatever else. And we could sort of figure out the rest of the season. Whereas, you know, maybe the other teams didn't have that same kind of suggestion early on. As you saw a player from the Giants yesterday and Solder and the Chiefs and Damian Williams wait till, you know, last night to make their decision.
We've got some update information for you on the COVID-19 situation in Major League Baseball. We talked about this earlier in the day. The Philadelphia Phillies in particular were the team that was just getting screwed here. They've got two pitchers who haven't even pitched yet. They're going to go 10 days between being able to throw. They weren't able to work out at their ballpark, and then they had to kind of stagger those. Well, according to Bob Nightingale, the Phillies have shut down workouts at Citizens Bank Park after a coach and clubhouse attendant have now tested positive. Still no positive player COVID-19 test by any team but the Marlins since last week, but we mentioned this the other day, that sometimes it takes 3, 4, or 5 days after being exposed to COVID-19 to test for it. I hope that the coach and clubhouse attendant who have tested positive are not the first of many, because we said before, even at the risk of booting the Marlins out of this whole thing, it's when if you got to a second team that Major League Baseball may have real issues.
Well, and it's interesting too. I wonder, like, what the day-to-day activities were of both of those guys that tested positive, because a coach on one team you would think would have zero. Well, I guess. Well, if he's a first base coach, third base coach, I guess.
And all that pregame stuff, you know, where guys are visiting on the field, and you've seen it. I mean, you'd like to think that they were wearing masks.
I feel like a
distance,
lot of the coaches have done a pretty good job when you see them in the dugout.
The masks,
flashing to
especially.
Them. A lot of them have been doing the masks, but it's not like it's a base runner and a second baseman or a third baseman or a catcher and the guy batting. It's not that. So I'm interested into if they give some of the details of like where these guys were, because let's face it, they didn't necessarily have to get it from the Marlins. Like, that's the direct connection that we're all going
right,
to make,
right.
But they also could have, you know, who knows, gone out somewhere in Philadelphia, because guess what? There are still cases in Philadelphia, too.
I mean, you hope that this isn't like the tip of the iceberg. You hope that it's
right.
These
oh,
two.
Of course.
We got them. You know, we're all set. Because as we said, if you did have another outbreak, and the Miami Marlins have had an outbreak, they had another player test positive today. If you had another outbreak, another team, well, we've already talked about what just having one team has done to screw up the entire league. What happens if you have two teams?
Yeah, big time trouble. Big time trouble. And not only that, but you find out that it transmits from one team to the team that they're playing. Because that was sort of the hope all along is, all right, if it's just the Marlins, you sort of get them out of there. Nobody play them. But if it didn't go through to the Phillies, then, all right, kind of move on with everybody else. And you either decide to boot the Marlins altogether, give them a week break, a two-week break, whatever. That's your decision. But once it's multiple teams and you realize that, hey, if this pops up again later in the season and say four guys get it for the Red Sox, well, shoot, now the team that they played,
maybe
it gets to them as well. Whereas I feel like that's the big concern with the other three sports is as soon as it's on the basketball court or even the ice or certainly the football field, both teams are going to get it. Baseball was the one where I thought, yeah, you might be able to get away with it. Like you might be able to have a guy out there who has it, but because it's, you know, it's all outdoors, it's they're so far apart and all that stuff, you might be able to kind of, you know, luck out and get by.
I would say the least surprising thing of all is that a clubhouse attendant has tested positive. The Phillies had isolated all the clubhouse attendants that the Marlins had in Philadelphia, but I mean, I'd have been shocked if they all cleared in this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, well,
now the Phillies also said all activity at Citizens Bank Park has been canceled today and until further notice.
Yeah, and now you're getting into the entire division. Like that division is going to open up. There are also teams that the Red Sox play as well. And don't you get the sense now that no matter what, at the end of the year, when you look at the standings, not every team is going to play 60 games.
It's almost impossible for the Marlins to play 60.
Yeah, because how do you make them all up? You can't make them and then their opponent play all these double headers at the end and just blow through their arms before the playoffs or whatever else. It's just, it doesn't seem like it's going to happen.
Well, I hope that this is a simple little, these two guys got it. We got them. We tested them. We pulled them away. Everything's fine. I hope that's the case. My fear is this may be the tip of the iceberg in Philadelphia. And look, we thought all along that the two non-bubble sports could have difficulties pulling this thing off. We thought it was possible because they're going home every night. When they're at the ballpark, they've got control of them. They can keep them safe and they can, you know, adhere to all the protocols, but once they leave the park, what are they doing? And that's where we thought the issue was going to come.
Yeah, and I just, the one thing I'm surprised about is how quick it happened. I thought, again, you get some of these teams that don't really have a chance. They've been doing it a certain way. They've been, you know, playing by the rules for such a long time. They're just kind of losing their minds. They're not used to having to live their lives this way, especially, you know, millionaires in their 20s. They're not used to having to do this. And then, you know, 2 months into the season, they say, screw it. Like, I'm going out. And especially, I thought you'd have, you know, all these negative tests and it might build up sort of a false sense of security for so many players. Like, all right, we're doing the right thing. So what's the harm of one day out? But if it's true that the Marlins did this after the exhibition game, before the season even started,
by the way, Major League Baseball is investigating the Marlins now because Major League Baseball needs to know. Well, here's one of the questions. Let's say that it was a visit to Magic City. Okay. I wouldn't pay those players for the time they miss. The Phillies, the Yankees, the games that they've missed, they're getting paid for. They should.
Yeah, it's not their fault.
Not their fault at all. But if the investigation in Major League Baseball is investigating now, if the investigation shows, look, a whole bunch of guys went out to the strip club in Atlanta, why would I have to pay them for the time they miss?
Yeah, you shouldn't. And I also think it's important, too, because if they, and I don't believe this, I don't think anybody does, but if they did everything the right way, well, then there's even more concern that you're going to be able to keep it out, right? Because you're like, oh, shoot. So we have all these protocols in place, and yet still a whole team can get it. Like, now we're in trouble. But if you know that, like, a handful of guys did something stupid, Art, you can explain that away and then hope that the other 29 teams continue to do the right thing, and then you have a chance of finishing the year.
And by the way, I do think the players will not be truthful.
Probably not.
They're going to have to prove it in other ways, and I don't know.
Security footage that you can go to. I mean, you got to treat this like a crime. Like, figure this out.
I'm guessing Magic City's going to say, "Oh no, damn the luck! That footage just somebody erased it. I don't know what happened."
Yeah, good point. We shut the cameras off that night.
Camera wasn't working.
Yeah, it wasn't working.
That first 48 hours.
Yeah, we're way past that now. We're screwed.
617-779-7937. We've got a take that needs a 180. It's coming up in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe, and it's time to trend.
Dale and Keefe.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
All right, it's time for this week's Take That Needs a 180, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. If you've been waiting for in-person weekly coaching, you're in luck. All Awaken 180 locations have reopened and are accepting new clients. Awaken180weightloss.com. All right, so we always try to find a take that needs a 180. Oftentimes that take in some way, shape, or form includes Wiggy.
Could be him.
But not today.
No, not this time.
Today's take that needs a 180 is provided to us by Michael Porter Jr.
Personally, I think that the coronavirus is being used, obviously, for a bigger agenda, for population control, in just terms of being able to control the masses of people. I mean, because of this virus, the whole world is being controlled. I mean, you're required to wear masks, and who knows what'll happen when this vaccine comes out. You might have to have the vaccine in order to travel. Like, that'd be crazy. I've never been vaccinated in my life. I've never had any shots or anything like that. So it could get crazy, but it's definitely an agenda behind everything that's going on right now. And all you can do is sit back and watch what's going on. Don't get too emotionally involved. But yeah, I mean, it is a serious thing. It's a real thing, but yes, it's being overblown.
My man might want to be worried about the measles.
I mean, he's never been vaccinated for anything in his life. Now, I know that there are some folks out there.
There are.
Who don't believe in vaccinations.
I could get the mumps any minute now.
Next thing you know, rubella.
When has a vaccine actually worked?
Polio is an example I might use.
I haven't seen a ton of it around. But listen, it's a take from Michael Porter Jr. And this was during, he was doing like a Snapchat Q&A or something like that. And I actually think his coach, Mike Malone, I think handled it kind of the best way, because he has been very pro his players speaking out as it relates to, you know, Black Lives Matter and different issues right now. And he says he's never going to like muzzle any of his players. I think that's actually the term he uses. Like, I'm not going to do that. Like, if that's what their beliefs are. But at the same time, also try to, you know, educate his players and inform them before speaking on certain issues too, and sort of understand, like, you know, like the old read the room type of deal.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's going to do that, but he's not just going to immediately scold him, which I think is smart. Like, for a coach, you know, it's like, even to a lesser degree, like when Kyrie Irving would start preaching about like flat earth and all this other stuff, I think if the immediate response is like, oh, you're dumb, this is the dumbest thing in the world, like, I don't know how productive that is either. So even though, like, that was my first take when Michael Porter was like, oh, it's for population control. But it's like, all right, this is what he thinks. Why does he think this? Let's sort of, you know, get somewhere first before you just tell the guy he's an idiot, because then I don't think he's going to ever change his mind.
It's like yesterday when it was announced, there's a representative named Louis Gohmert, who has been one of these adamant anti-maskers. In fact, he has refused to wear it at times. He has made fun of people who were wearing masks. And he was supposed to fly with the president yesterday to Texas for a campaign appearance. So they test all these people before they can get on Air Force One, and he tested positive for coronavirus.
Right.
He then said he's pretty sure he got it because he was wearing a mask at times.
Yeah, I feel that like that's probably not the case.
He got some coronavirus into the mask and then breathed it into his body. And, I mean, you're just trying too hard.
Yeah.
If what you basically say is, I tested positive for coronavirus because you made me wear a mask.
I breathe in the oxygen and breathe out the CO2, and it gets trapped in the mask. Next thing you know, I'm breathing in secondhand air and third hand air.
No, don't get me wrong. There are certain people that it is much more difficult to talk to and to have a conversation and to maybe do that stuff. But again, I think Michael Porter obviously feels this way, and he feels this way for a reason, and not everybody's going to agree on everything, but it was definitely one where the team kind of stepped in and was like, you know, Michael, like, come on, man. Like, we don't need to be doing this right now.
I know that Wiggy's been very adamant and basically demanding that the governor of the state allow high school football to take place. He was grabbing a hold of the fact that Western Pennsylvania said yesterday the high school football season will go on as scheduled. There's been a lot of talk about the college football schedule. A lot of different conferences have already said, look, we're not playing football. A lot of schools have said it. My alma mater, Bowdoin, I think, began the parade. So yesterday we got word from the ACC.
Yeah.
That they will, in fact, play football this fall. They will begin play the week of September 7th. That was originally scheduled as week two of the season. ACC teams, plus partial league member Notre Dame.
Yeah, get them
we'll
in there.
Play 11 games.
Well, because the teams that are going to play this year, it sort of feels like it's going to be conference only stuff. You know, like, and they made that announcement a while ago. Like, hey, it's going to be, you know, Big Ten is going to play just the Big Ten. So there's some, you know, every team has like one marquee game out of conference, and unfortunately, those have been wiped out. Notre Dame. I think they still play basketball, right, in the ACC. I know they play some sports in the ACC. I think some of the other, like lesser sports, maybe. Football, they've always been this independent, right? So they play, like, they're an independent, and they play all these different teams. They have, like, eight different rivals. But if everybody's just going to a conference, and if Notre Dame wants to play, well, then here you go. So they jump in the ACC. I know the SEC was expected to make some sort of announcement today.
Sometime today, but I haven't seen it yet.
And the thinking was they might wait until September 19th or 26th to have their first games. But again, if you're wiping out all the, you know, Alabama versus Chattanooga games, like, you can still do that. You can still have a conference schedule. So I'm hopeful that they're able to play.
So Notre Dame will play a full 10-game ACC conference schedule, which means they are eligible to compete in the ACC championship game as a temporary member of the conference this year.
That actually be a pretty cool story if Notre Dame won the ACC. Then you look back, you're like, they're not even in the ACC. Yeah, how did they win the ACC? It's like, oh, well, COVID.
So ACC teams and Notre Dame, they'll play 11 games, 10 ACC contests, and one non-conference game against an opponent that resides in the home state of that league member.
Oh, so they do. So, oh, interesting. Okay, so what, BC has to play UMass?
I can't think of who else they could play in their home state.
Who else they got? I don't think Tufts playing this year.
Northeastern doesn't have a team anymore.
Northeastern doesn't have a team. BU doesn't have a team.
BU, they're out.
That's it. That's the only option, huh?
So that's what they say is that.
That's it. What's the score of that game going to be?
I know. 10 ACC contests.
Usually three scores is the spread.
And one non-conference game against an opponent that resides in the home state of league members.
All right. I mean, I'm, you know, hopeful that they're able to play it, and we have to wait and see. Like, who knows what the campuses are going to look like, and, you know, whether the students are there or they're partially there, or how they work all that out. But at least they're going forward and trying to figure it out. I appreciate that.
They're one of the first, the so-called Power Five conferences. You know, we've been waiting to hear from them. They're the first ones taking it to an NFL situation. The Cowboys announced today that there will be no season ticket sales for 2020. What they've said is that if they're allowed, assuming they have games, and if they're allowed to put fans in the stands, season ticket holders can buy a limited number of tickets for a limited number of games, but there will be no season tickets sold for this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's just like that logistics part is going to be tough for all these teams, just kind of scrambling and be like, all right, we probably aren't going to have fans, but if we do have fans, and like, what's the fair way of getting people in there to have a shot at the games? And like that whole part to me, and I understand it's important for a lot of people, but that's completely secondary. Like, I'm way more worried about the games actually taking place than whether or not there's 10,000, 20,000, 100,000 fans like in these stadiums. Like, we can cross that bridge when we get to it, but let's just make sure you still have the games going on.
There, you know, the whole idea here is that the Patriots had been making plans to have as many as 16,000 fans in their stands. The state has not approved that yet, and the Patriots understand that, although I'm told that they're very confident they will be able to put some people in their stadium. I don't know what they're basing that confidence on, but I'm told that they're very confident.
Well, it's also impossible to know what it's going to be like in October, November, December, where they have scheduled games. I think they even have a game scheduled for January. I think they're home week 17, which is a January game. So I think making any decisions on it now would be crazy. Like, one way or the other. Like, you can't sit here and say zero fans, all fans, half fans. Like, you have no idea.
And, you know, I understand that you got to plan.
Right.
So that all of a sudden out of nowhere, the governor suddenly says, hey, you can put 16,000 people. Oh, my God. Now what do we do?
Right. Now, you always plan for that part of it. And then because it's a lot easier to just say, all right, you know, nobody's coming today.
So they're going to plan. They're going to hope. I don't know how realistic the hope is, at least to start the season. I mean, you kind of hope that as the season goes on, you know, maybe things will get better, although I haven't seen any indication that it is. But that's what they're trying to do anyway.
Yeah. And so, again, I mean, they're making as many adjustments as they can kind of on the fly. But if anything, football needs to take a good look at baseball and look at the very few things that they've done right and all the many things that they've done wrong and make sure that they don't get into the same situation.
By the way, and this story continues to just get updated minute by minute by minute, the Blue Jays-Phillies games this weekend have now been postponed.
Yikes.
Not surprising. The Blue Jays have no idea what to do next. I'm reading a tweet from a reporter who covers the team. The Blue Jays will ask the Nationals for permission to stay in D.C. and keep working out over the weekend. If the Jays don't get permission to do so, they'll figure something else out. Buffalo is an option. Perhaps they'll go to Buffalo, where they're supposed to play most, if not all, of their home games. But the postponement brigade continues. And I'm sure this has something to do with the fact that the Phillies have now had to close down their park. They've got a clubhouse attendant and a coach who's now tested positive. So now the games that were supposed to be in Philadelphia this weekend, which, by the way, the Blue Jays were going to be the home team in Philly.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. Without fans, it doesn't matter. Like, all right, you get to hit second. Like, that's really it. It's all the same stuff. But, and yeah, I want to know how many games these teams are going to end the season with. There's going to be some with, like, 57, some with 50, so like, you know, a bunch hopefully with 60, some with way less. It's going to be weird.
Now, take it one step further. The Yankees are supposed to face the Phillies four times next week. And now you wonder if that's going to happen. Yeah. You know, all of this started with Miami, but the domino effect, the Nationals say, no, I'm not going down there. We don't want to go down there. Okay, we'll call off those games. And now the Phillies have to close down their park, and so now we got to call off our games with Toronto this weekend. It is a mess.
Oh, it's a huge mess. And not to mention, not that the Red Sox have much of a chance of being successful anyway, but when you just look at their schedule, you know, they got a bunch of games with the Yankees. They got a Phillies matchup. They have the Miami Marlins. Now, I know it's later, but still, just depending on whether they're even in the league, how many games they have to make up, what are they doing, what are they forfeiting. Like, it has impacted the NL and AL East, which obviously is going to impact the Red Sox.
We've got what else you got coming up, including a blast from the past. Twitter's an amazing thing. Sometimes it's cesspool. Once in a while, somebody will post something out of the blue, which will take you back to your ute. We've got that and more coming up. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Ready for more?
Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
All right, let's get to a couple of things that we might have missed earlier in the program.
What else you got?
Chris Scheim with his tuba. You can kick
What do you have, Scheim?
Well, so if there's anything I know about Rich Keefe, it's that Rich Keefe loves aliens.
That's true. That is true.
And so NASA just recently launched a rocket into space. They're sending a rover to Mars.
Yeah, baby.
Mars!
We're going to Mars,
all
boys.
Right.
They're sending the Perseverance rover. It's set to arrive February 18th, 2021.
Wow.
So just about 6.5 months from now, it's going to search for water. Which they believe they have. There's a surface ice deposit that's the size of Greenland.
Really?
So there's a good chance we could get people on Mars in the future.
Would you move to Mars right now if I told you they have water and Wi-Fi?
Yes.
Okay.
Done. I just need the water and Wi-Fi.
Water and Wi-Fi. What do you mean?
I am one of those firm believers that there is life, quote unquote, somewhere else. I'm not so naive to think that this is the only planet in the solar system.
Save some takes for the rest of us, Dale.
Yeah. But let me just say this: I don't think Mars is the one.
Interesting.
Well, I don't think there's necessarily life there.
Are Martians from Mars? Isn't that sort of the whole thing?
Well, I mean, if you want to go with
Depends
that, go ahead.
Kind of
I would go there. I'll tell you. And I'm probably not alone in thinking this. 2019, you ask me, hey, would you go to Mars? No, I'm good here, thanks. 2020, Mars? Yes, please. First ticket out of here.
Sign me up.
Let's go.
What else you got?
John?
So Rachel Holt from WBZ caused quite the brouhaha on Twitter the other day, and I risk Rich Keefe coming through the window right now and bash my brains in.
I'm thinking about it.
Because she said, and she got a lot of heat for this, I don't care how hot it is outside, I will be ordering hot coffee. And I agree with that 100%. I never drink iced coffee ever. It is 97 degrees, I'm getting a hot coffee, and I don't need the employee at the front to be giving me attitude about it either.
No, believe it or not, even though I am not a hot coffee fan, I am 100% on board with that take, because in the middle of January when it's minus 20, I still drink iced coffee. So that's fine. It's just the bizarro version of it, but I respect it. I'm iced coffee year-round. You're hot coffee year-round. No problem with that.
I am I'm hot coffee year-round as well.
There you go.
On that
The thing is, Keith, a lot of the iced coffee people, you may not. A lot of them do have a problem with that.
I am not a snob. But no, but that's because I am year-round iced coffee. If I was like a seasonal person, you'd have a problem with either one.
January, he brings the iced coffee and doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. It could be freezing. Your hands sticking to the cup. You can't even use the straw. It's frozen solid. Don't care. Love it.
I'm not an iced coffee fan, period. I mean, occasionally, very occasionally. And then I just go rushing right back to the hot coffee.
I've had hot coffee once in my life, and it was when we were covering the Super Bowl in Minnesota. Because cold. I've never been that cold in my life was Minnesota.
The very first day we were there, and I said, oh, it's not that far. I walked it the first day.
We saw Adele frozen.
I was going to die.
That's horrible.
Oh. He's actually doing the show from there right now.
He's stuck right it there. I've never been that cold in my life. Unbelievable.
What else you got?
Rich.
All right. Well, the NFL Top 100 has been announced. Every single one of these guys. But the Patriots quarterback is not on there. And Jalen Rose says enough is enough.
But the disrespect of Cam Newton is just getting out of hand. I actually took the time. Let me name some guys that make more money this year than Cam Newton, Lou. This year, Drew Locke, Matt Schaub, Matt Barkley, RG3, Matt Peterman. Didn't he throw four interceptions in the first half and get taken out of the game? A guy that won MVP and led a team to the Super Bowl has been disrespected, and he gets a chance to learn from Belichick. He's going to sit next to Belichick for a season. Cam Newton is being disrespected by not being on this list at all.
And some guy named Tress Way actually started one.
All part of the plan, though. This is all part of the Cam Newton revenge tour. The fact that he was not on the top 100 makes me feel even better about it. If he had been, number 45 or something, maybe he lets his guard down. Maybe he doesn't have as much to prove. Now he is so pissed off at everybody.
Now, doesn't it appear that Patrick Mahomes is also taking names?
Yeah,
he
is.
He was pissed last night.
He was pissed that he came in fourth, but even then,
he is going to throw 1,000 touchdowns next year because of this.
He just might.
No shot.
And we're going to know why now. But I'm telling you, Cam Newton just getting ripped apart. This is like when he left Florida. We're learning about it on the Cam Chronicles. It's the same thing. He's got just as much motivation, and it worked out pretty well those
Patrick
2 years
Mahomes
after.
Patrick Mahomes should be taking notes on how not to become Aaron Rodgers, because that's where his career is projecting.
Shams got this soft take now that he has on Twitter about
Mahomes
being Rodgers.
He says it a minute
Rodgers.
Before the show's over.
Yeah, save it, all right? You have 4 hours tomorrow to unpack that.
What else you got?
All right, sometimes Twitter can be a bit of a cesspool. I don't think I'm going too far out on the limb when I suggest that. And then once in a while, somebody will drop something on Twitter which just shocks me, including today. Somebody posted on Twitter and then said, hey, isn't that Dale Arnold on the call from this Sammy Martin kickoff return for a touchdown in the Patriots game? And the answer is, yes, it is.
Before heading into Indianapolis for the kickoff of Week 13.
Across the 10, 15, comes near side, across the 20, breaks free, and he's loose! There goes Sammy Martin! Goodbye! Touchdown, Patriots!
The first kickoff return in the career of Sammy Martin, including high school, college, or pro, jump-started the Patriots.
Crank it up, Portland! The Calder Cup is coming.
Oh, that's a different... No, don't be tying those together. By the way, the voice was just as high in both of those.
Well, I'll tell you what, that was, I think, the one highlight Dale got to call from those Patriot teams.
No, it was a Doug Flutie naked bootleg.
Okay, yeah.
The Icky Baluki call. There was two.
Two. You had the kick return. Yeah, because somebody on Twitter posted, I think, like every kick return for a touchdown since like 88 or whatever. That was a pretty cool
video.
And
that was one of them.
Yeah, that was the first one, I think.
They then went through and did a thread of the longest pass plays by each Patriots team since 2000.
That's a great way of spending your time, both putting it together and watching it.
A lot of fun.
All right.
You are bored in the corona quarantine if you're trotting through all of that stuff, but... I appreciate it, though. I don't have any of that stuff, so it was fun to listen to it again. You're off tomorrow, right?
I am. I'll be back on Monday.
Good. Enjoy your time off.
Thank you.
Andy Hart will be in tomorrow. We will also take you inside the bubble in Toronto tomorrow. Mike Milbury will join us. We'll talk to him about what it's like within the bubble. Of course, the Bruins play tonight, their first and only preseason game, exhibition game against the Columbus Blue Jackets. We've got the whole thing on Nesson, pregame show at 6. Call at 7. Look, I'm curious to see how it looks, too, to be honest with you. Rich, enjoy your long weekend.
Thank you.
We'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye.
Russell Wilson.
That's all, folks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.